I'm going to speak to you today from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I'd like to make a few comments before beginning to read the scriptures. And the first comment is this. This is one of the most important passages of scripture in the Word of God. And this book of Hebrews brings together the Old Testament and the New Testament better than any other book or any other epistle. If you would enter into the treasures of God's promises in the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament, the types and pictures and stories of the Old Testament, if you would enter into what they mean as they point to our redemption, as they have reference to the New Testament, you need to read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews brings together the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, to the book of Revelation, everything in the New Testament is in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Christ is in the Old Testament. In picture, in promise, in prophecy, in pattern, in type, in story, shadows. Christ, that's what the Old Testament's about. It says someone's coming, and this is what he'll be like. This is what he'll do. This is how he'll save sinners. That's what the Old Testament's saying. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. You'll be a prophet like Moses, and a priest like Aaron, and Melchizedek, and a king like David, and he'll be the Passover lamb, and the brazen serpent lifted up, and the bread from heaven, and all these things. And then the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says, behold the Lamb of God. He's here. He's here. And the epistles tell us what manner of men we ought to be waiting for his return. That's right. So here in Hebrews, let's look at chapter 1 of Hebrews. Just a few verses now, and you follow along, and I'll read it here and make some comments. In verse 1, Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at different times, sundry times, many times, and in divers manners or different ways, spake to our fathers by the prophets. In other words, there were years of silence. There were years of silence. But there were times when God did speak. When God spoke from heaven, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke through the prophets. He gave his word and his message and his gospel to the prophets. And the prophets spoke to the people. They took God's word to the people. In other words, our Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw my day and was glad. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham when he took him out under the stars and said, look up, count the stars. Abraham said, they're innumerable. And God said, so shall thy seed be. I'm going to send the son through you, Isaac. And that seed through Isaac is Christ. And your people, those like you, believers, children of God, who are the sons of Abraham, there'll be as many as the stars of the sky, the sands of the seashore. God said that to Abraham, and Abraham told that to his son, and to the people. These are God's people. And then God one day took Abraham up on Mount Moriah, and he spoke to him there. He said, Abraham, take that son, that promised son, that miracle boy that I gave you through Sarah in your old age. Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering. And Abraham took a 3 days journey and went to Mount Moriah, and he took that son up on the mountain, bound him and put him on an altar, pretty good sized boy. And he was going to do as God commanded him because he believed God, and he believed God had raised him from the dead. Because he said, he knew God told him, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he knew Isaac couldn't stay dead if his seed was going to be in Isaac, because he wasn't going to have another son. And so he would have sacrificed Isaac's life, but God stopped him. God said, Abraham, don't touch the lad. And Abraham turned, and there was a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And God told him to take that ram, put it on the altar in Isaac's place, and sacrifice the blood of the ram and burn its body as a sin offering. And Abraham saw the day of Christ right there when our Lord God took us off the altar of sin, off the cross of Calvary, and put his son in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ is our lamb slain. He's the ram who took our place. He took our sins. You see that? God showed Abraham. And then Christ said, Moses wrote of me. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible. They're just full of Christ. God took Moses one day and he said, now Moses, Pharaoh will not let the people go. I've brought plague upon plague. Now I'm going to come through the land of Egypt tonight at midnight. I'm coming through, and I'm going to destroy the firstborn in every home, from the cattle on the hillside to the house of Pharaoh, the firstborn in every house of thine. Now, Moses, you and the people of Israel, take a lamb, one for each house, the firstling of the flock. Put it up 4 days and observe it. Can't be a sick lamb. It's got to be without spot or blemish. And then you slay that lamb and roast its body and eat the flesh and put the blood on the door. And Moses, when I come through that night and I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's what Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. When our Lord Jesus met with his apostles, that's what they call the Last Supper, that was the Passover. They were observing that Passover that had been observed clear back to Moses, back to Egypt. And this was the last one, because Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed on that cross outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and that's the end of the Passover. He's the Passover. See, God spoke to the people through Moses. And God spoke to Israel through the brazen serpent. You remember they murmured against God and Moses prayed for them. God sent the fiery serpents among the people. They had bitten the people. They were dying. And God said, Moses, take a serpent of brass, just like those serpents that have bitten the people, and put it on a pole. And whoever looks will live. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he said this. He said, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that serpent of brass was made in the likeness of those serpents that had bitten the people. And when Christ came, he was made in the likeness of our flesh. That's our problem, is flesh. That's where sin comes from, is flesh. Flesh shall not enter the kingdom of God. So Christ was made flesh for us and died in the flesh on the cross, bearing our sins, and we looked to him. When Moses smote the rock and water came out, that's Christ. The Bible says that in the New Testament. Christ is that rock. God spake. And to Jonah, what was Jonah all about? The fish swallowed him. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and then he was out on dry land. He died in that fish's belly. Death was about him, on him, and God raised him. And Christ said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth and resurrected. Someday you're going to die, and I'm going to die. And Jonah tells us we're going to be raised. As Christ was raised. You see that? God spake to the fathers by the prophets. And he always spoke to them about Christ, the gospel, how God saved sinners. Now, look at verse 2. God who spake to our fathers by these prophets, Moses and Abraham and Jonah and Elijah and all these men, hath in these last days, hath in these last days, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The Son, Jesus Christ, He's the fulfillment of all the promises. God now speaks to us through the fulfillment of the promises. From the woman's seed, to Emmanuel, to the messenger of the covenant, to the babe in the manger, to the Christ of the cross, to the ascended victorious Lord, He speaks to us by His Son. The Son fulfills all these promises, and all these types, and all these ceremonies, and all these sacrifices, and all of these patterns. He fulfills every one of them and puts them away, abolishes them, because He's the fulfillment of them. Christ is our Sabbath. We no longer keep the seventh day. Christ laid in the tomb during the whole seventh day. He arose on the first day of the week. Every day is the Lord's day. He fulfilled it. He's our rest. We don't sacrifice animals. We don't keep these certain days anymore. Christ is the fulfillment of all these things. Listen, listen. We don't have a priest on this earth that goes about through ceremonies and burning incense and smoking flax and sweet odors and all this sort of thing. And Christ is our high priest at the right hand of God. Listen to this hymn by one of the old writers. The true Messiah now appears. The types are all withdrawn. So flies the shadows and the stars before a rising sun. You know when the sun comes up in the morning? The stars are still there, but you can't see them. The moon's still there, but you can't see it. The sun is so bright, so brilliant. And when Christ comes, all the types and the shadows and the pictures and the patterns and all these things just fade away. These holy days and special days and Sabbath days and touch not, taste not, handle not, diets and so forth, fulfilled in Christ. There's no need for them now. The sun shines. No more types. No more bleeding lambs, nor goats, nor bullocks slain. Incense and spices of costly name, they'd all be burnt in vain. Aaron must lay his robes away, his mitre and his rest, when God Himself comes to be our offering and our priest. We don't need Aaron. We've got the great high priest. We don't need Aaron's robes. We've got the robe of His righteousness. When God Himself comes to be our offering and our priest, He took our mortal flesh to show the wonders of His love. For us He gave His life below. He prays for us above. You see, God, who at sundry times, many times, not all the time, there were years of silence and years of revelation, times of revelation, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Who is this Son? Now you watch these next verses. I tell you, this is loaded. Who is this Son by whom He speaks? It says He has spoken to us by His Son. He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is My Son. Hear ye Him. His Son, listen to verse 3, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. God loves the Son. And hath given all things into His hand. That's what I said last week. Everything God has for this old sinful world is in the hands of Christ. Everything that God has for you or for me is in Christ. That's right. It says, He hath appointed Him the heir of all things. And we're joint heirs with Christ, but He's the heir. His Son, by whom He made the world. John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And we beheld His glory. His Son, by whom He made the world. Look at that next verse. His Son, who's the brightness of His glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know where a man sees the glory of God? Do you know? Can you quote the Scripture? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Back yonder when God created the worlds, the world was in darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. I mean darkness. Darkness. And God said, let there be light. And the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, listen, to reveal unto us His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where it is. The glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the Son I'm talking about. His Son, who's the brightness of His glory. His Son, listen, who is the exact image of His person. The disciples said, well, show us the Father. Show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. Show us the Father. Ah, He said, have I been so long time with you, and you don't know me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen my Father. I and the Father are one. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's right. He's the exact express image of God's person, Jesus Christ. And He's spoken to us by His Son. Listen, His Son who upholds all things by the word of His power. I hear preachers who sound like Jesus Christ is some little feminine, weak sister, some little failure, some little fella that can't get the job done. Listen to me. Jesus Christ owns everything. He has all authority and power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given Him. He said to His disciples, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now you go preach the gospel. Our Lord is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the sword of His word goes out of His mouth. And He has on His vesture, King of kings and Lord of lords. And He has on His side the keys of hell and death. He's the conquering King. He upholds everything by the word of His power, Jesus Christ. He said, don't wait for me. That's when He was going to Calvary, bearing that awful cross, and the women were weeping and lamenting, and He turned and said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. There's where the tears need to be shed, not over the remedy, over the disease, not over the cure, over the cause, not over the King, over those who will feel His wrath. All authority, when He had, listen, by Himself, purged our sins. Who purged our sins? He did. How did He do it? By Himself, alone, without any help from you or me or anybody else. By Himself. And by Himself, by the sacrifice of Himself, He put away sin. By Himself, purged them. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. In Christ there is no sin. The moment a person believes totally, completely on Christ, looks to Him, receives Him, rests in Him, trusts Him, that moment his sins are all, without exception, put away. He stands before God as if he had never sinned. Actually, he's better off than if he had not sinned. Because if he had not sinned, he sooner or later would. But now he has a righteousness which he cannot lose, which cannot be forfeited, which cannot be taken away. It's Christ's righteousness. You can't lose what's not yours. It's His, not mine. It's His righteousness. His faithfulness, His blood, His holiness, His intercession, His salvation. That's what it is. It's His. He gave it to us. You see that? By Himself He purged our sin. And He sat down. Where is He? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, my soul. And God said, let all the angels of God worship Him. And God has given Him a name above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that He's Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to look at verse 4. And here's the key to this book of Hebrews. I'm going to just hand you the key. I've just got a few more minutes. But I'm going to hand you a key that you can go through here and unlock the treasures of this book. It says here in verse 4, this is the key. Look at it. This Son, this Christ, this Redeemer, being so much better than the angels, He hath a more excellent name than they. To which of the angels said God at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? No, to the Son, He's more excellent and better than all the angels of God. You know, we read in the Scriptures about the angels of God, and we're in awe and we're in fear in regard to these angels. If an angel walked in, you would be in awe and in fear, wouldn't you? Most people would. In fact, John on the Isle of Patmos said, when the angel spoke to him, he said, I fell down at His feet to worship Him. And the angel said, see that you do it not. I am a fellow servant. Worship God. And that's what this is saying. Our Lord Jesus Christ is better than all the angels and all the heavenly hosts and all the seraphims and all the cherubims. You know, a lot of people say, oh, if I could just see a vision, if I could just have a dream, if I could just see an angel. Let me tell you something. Christ is better. He hath, that's right, being made so much better than the angels. Now, what's this? Hebrews 7. It says, now the law of Moses made nothing perfect. Made nothing perfect. You know, all those sacrifices never put away sin. They were just types. That's right. That blood, all the blood on Jewish altar slain, cannot take away one spot, one sin, or one stain. They were pictures of the Lamb of God. They were types of the Lamb of God. And nothing was ever perfected under the law. But listen, the bringing in of a better hope did, because Jesus Christ is the surety of a better covenant. Oh, we have an altar. It's Christ. We have a high priest. It's Christ. We have a sin offering. It's Christ. We have an atonement. It's Christ. And it's the better hope and a better covenant and better promises in our Lord Jesus Christ. Something better. You go back to that old tabernacle in the wilderness, and there's Aaron with his mitre and with his hat and with his breastplate and with his white linen and all of these robes, and the people are in awe as he takes the blood of the animal and goes there into the Holy of Holies and sprinkles it on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God overshadows the mercy seat, and in a few moments Aaron comes out and the cheer goes up and the people, the atonement has been accepted one more year. But wait a minute. Our high priest, there were many of those priests. He's one. They lived and died. He lives forever. They were men. He's the God-man. They offered the blood of an animal. He offered His own blood. They ministered in a tabernacle made with hands. He ministers in heaven. Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, by one offering, by one sacrifice, brought in a better hope, a better covenant, with better promises. That's what that says. Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. What did God promise Israel the nation Israel. You can go back to the Old Testament now and think a moment. What did he promise? Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, peace with their neighbors, prosperity, a vineyard, and plenty of olive trees. All of these are material things. If Israel obeyed God, did what he said to do, he blessed them materially, he blessed them physically, he blessed them with long life, he blessed them with peace, and he blessed them with a good nation and a good land. But when they sinned, they lost it all, went into captivity. But we have in Christ better promises. Our Lord promises us eternal life, forgiveness of sin, joy, glory forever. You see that? Better than the angels. A better hope. A better covenant. A better promise. And a better sacrifice. Oh, I'll tell you, we have a priest that's better than the angels. We have a covenant that's better than the covenant with Israel. Upon better promises, a better hope, and a better sacrifice. And then it says this. Now watch Hebrews 9. Let me show you this as I close. Our great high priest made three appearances for us. Three special appearances. First of all, in Hebrews 9, verse 24, it says that Christ is entered, not the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us as our surety, as our high priest, as our mediator. He appears in the presence of God for us. He's our forerunner. We're in him. We're seated with Christ at the right hand of God. He appears there for us. He's our representative. We have an advocate. We have a high priest with God. Now look at verse 26. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared on this earth to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Our Lord came down here into this world, made of a woman, took on himself flesh and blood and bones, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, walked this earth, obeyed the law, took our sin, went to the cross, paid this debt, was buried, rose again. He appeared, and by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified, put away our sin. Now watch this, the last appearance. So Christ was once offered, verse 28, to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him will he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, something better. God spoke to the prophets, but in these days, by his Son, of something better.